This is In the News for November 14th, 2005. I'm Scott Verguin of KSOW-LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. This first story is taken from Common Dreams News Center at www.commondreams.org. The story comes from Associated Press. It's written by Maria Jesus Prades. CIA accused of using airport in Mallorca. The National Court of Spain has received a prosecutor's report on allegations that the CIA used an airport on the Spanish island of Mallorca for a program of covert transfers of terror suspects, court officials said Monday. The chief prosecutor for the Balearic Islands, which include Mallorca, submitted the 114-page report to the court in July after a four-month investigation prompted by articles in a Mallorca newspaper, the court officials said. They spoke on condition of anonymity because court rules bar them from giving their names. The newspaper, Diario de Mallorca, said Spanish police have identified three planes used by the CIA at the airport in Palma, the capital of the Mediterranean island, in its extraordinary rendition program in which terror suspects were transferred to third countries without court approval, subjecting them to possible ill treatment. The office of the prosecutor, Bartomeu Barceló, declined to comment on the report on Monday, as did police in Mallorca. Spanish court officials said it was not immediately clear if the National Court has begun or agreed to undertake its own investigation. Diario de Mallorca said more than a dozen CIA flights had used Palma Airport. It said that in one case, a CIA plane involved in the alleged kidnapping of a German-born Lebanese national, Khalid al-Masri, in Macedonia earlier last year, had taken off from Palma Airport en route to Macedonia. Al-Masri said he was abducted, flown to Afghanistan, and interrogated for suspected ties to Al-Qaeda. Weeks later, Al-Masri has said he was turned over to officials he believes were from the United States, who flew him to a prison in Afghanistan, where he claims he was shackled, beaten, injected with drugs, and questioned persistently about his alleged links with Al-Qaeda. He says he staged a hunger strike and was released last May after being flown to Albania. Italy and Germany are investigating alleged CIA involvement in the alleged kidnapping of a suspected Muslim extremist. In Italy, prosecutors are seeking the extradition of 22 purported CIA operatives accused of kidnapping an Egyptian cleric, Osama Mustafa Hassan Nasser, in 2003 in Milan. German prosecutors are probing the same case on grounds that one of the CIA agents may have touched German soil when the plane carrying the suspect to Egypt passed through Ramstein Air Base. The base is considered U.S. territory. Nasser was allegedly tortured in Egypt. Next up from the Hartford Courant, you can read more on this article at www.current.com. That's current spelled C-O-U-R-A-N-T.com. Charities cost SAP aid for vets. This is by Matthew Kaufman, the Current staff writer, dated November 10th. From daybreak on the East Coast to nightfall in the West, young men with telephone headsets line the cubicles of professional call centers pleading with a patriotic nation. A script reads, quote, "The American Veterans Coalition is dedicated to helping veterans right here in state calling or who are homeless or in desperate need. The foundation provides assistance for those veterans in the form of food, shelter, clothing, job search assistance, and any other reasonable request." This is a charity, Seattle area charity, run by businessman Robert M. Friend. Another quote, "Do you think you could support our efforts with a gift of $75? End quote. "Most of the people called will hang up before the pitch is over, but this is a numbers game, and with their relentless telephone campaign, professional fundraisers in 2003 collected almost $1 million for the American Veterans Coalition and three other charities created simultaneously by Friend. But that dialing came at a staggering cost. Under Friend's deal with the solicitors, fundraisers pocketed 85 cents of every dollar raised. Of the money left over, half was spent on printing and administrative costs, including the rented mailbox that served as the charity's official address. The other half, Friend paid in salaries to himself and his wife. And money spent on food, shelter, or clothing for those desperate veterans? $0. With Veterans Day just gone past, a war raging in Iraq, Americans are opening their wallets to support homeless vets, paralyzed vets, jobless vets. Faced with a blizzard of telephone and mail solicitations, Americans donate more than $1 million a day to veterans groups. But while helping veterans is a well-established and popular cause, a computer analysis by The Current of hundreds of veterans' charities across the nation shows that, as a group, they lag far behind other nonprofits in the efficiency of their fundraising and the amount of money devoted to charitable services. A handful of veterans groups spend almost nothing on veterans' causes, diverting 90% or more of their money to administrative and fundraising costs. Scores of others claim hefty spending on charitable programs, but only by including a large portion of the cost of their fundraising drives as charitable expenses. At the Foundation for American Veterans in Michigan, just 6 cents of every dollar raised goes to services for veterans. At the American Ex-Prisoners of War Service Foundation in Tennessee, it's 2 cents. At the American Veterans Relief Foundation in California, not even a penny. Trent Stamp, president of Charity Navigator, a nonprofit watchdog group in New Jersey, said, "It's disgusting. You can't respect your donors if you think that people who write you a check are entitled to have 2 or 3 cents of every dollar that reaches the veterans. But under current laws and court rulings, almost nothing can be done about it. Donators, beware." You can get more on that story, and it's a long one. It's very detailed at www.courant.com. An important issue. The veterans always seem to get the short end of the stick, on both ends of the stick. And finally, today, a story from The Guardian, another story from The Guardian in the United Kingdom. You can go right to their webpage at www.guardian.co.uk. Schoolboy voted in as America's youngest mayor. This is written by Julian Borger in Washington for The Guardian, dated Saturday, November 12th. The new mayor of Hillsdale, Michigan, is a man of the people, ready to listen to their every concern, but only until 6 p.m., then he has to do his homework. The local elections on Tuesday may have been dismal for George Bush's Republican Party, but they were a triumph for Michael Sessions, an independent who emerged as the country's youngest mayor at the age of 18. Mr. Sessions, who is too young to drink in his own town, won by just 2 votes after a recount. By 670 votes to 668, he beat the sitting mayor, who is 51, and had all the advantages of incumbency. And Mr. Sessions won despite the fact that his name was not even on the ballot. He was too young to stand by the spring deadline for registration, so after he turned 18, he entered as a write-in candidate, meaning voters had to remember his name and add it to the ballot by hand in order to support him. The circumstances make his triumph all the more likely to be a model for future insurgent candidates. He started by winning the support of a powerful interest group, the Hillsdale Firefighters Union, who had fallen out with the town council. The union has a membership of 3, but in post-September 11 America, it wields symbolic clout. Before endorsing Mr. Sessions, its president, Kevin Palkin, called his teachers to check on his credentials. Mr. Palkin told the Detroit News, quote, "The guys were a little leery at first because of his age, but he really impressed us with his openness and his energy." To help get his name known, Mr. Sessions raised $700, selling toffee apples over the summer, and spent it on posters and placards which were sprinkled around Hillsdale's lawns by Election Day. His month-long campaign involved going door-to-door, explaining his vision of the town's future in the kitchens of his initially skeptical neighbors. He recalled, quote, "They'd look at me and say, 'How old are you again? How much experience do you have?' And I'd say, 'I'm still in high school.'" He promised Hillsdale's voters he would revitalize the local economy and make his useful energy his selling point. He explained, quote, "I was optimistic the whole time. At one point, 5 days before Election Day, that enthusiasm threatened to get the better of him. He spent so long out on the streets knocking on the doors, ignoring his mother's pleas for him to wear a coat, they ended up in a hospital emergency room with bronchitis. But by then, his momentum had become unstoppable." Mr. Sessions insists that his high school obligations will not get in the way of his mayoral duties, pointing out that the $3,000 a year job is part-time. He said, quote, "From 7:50 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., I'm a student. From 3 to 6, I'll be the mayor of Hillsdale working on mayor stuff," end quote. To help him do the mayor stuff, he is assembling a transition team of trusted advisors who will help him deal with the town council and the town manager who run the town between them. The ousted mayor, Douglas Ingalls, conceded defeat graciously and prepared to return to running his business, a roller skating rink, full-time after 4 years in office. He said, quote, "This is a very exciting time for our community. We need to find ways to generate enthusiasm, and I'm 100% supportive of any change that makes that happen." Again, that was from The Guardian, the UK. You can find more on this story and others at www.guardian.co.uk. This has been In the News for November 14th, 2005. I'm Scott Berguin. We'll talk to you next time.